This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Thursday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Tammy Schrantz from Burleson, Texas, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November the 6th. This is episode 1036, and this is brought to you by Road to the Horse. Good morning, Horse World.
Founded by Tootie Bland and her late husband, Steven, Road to the Horse has grown beyond what they or anyone else involved in its humble beginnings could have ever dreamed. This unique competition brings together three of the world's top trainers and clinicians, where over 2 days they will gentle a horse in adjacent round pens, while thousands of fans relish every moment. Combining education and entertainment, Road to the Horse is truly a one-of-a-kind event.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Road to the Horse a Day here on Horses in the Morning. Tammy is with us the first Thursday of every month, and we are how many months away from Road to the Horse? What, 4 months? A little over 4 months?
Oh, we are around 150 days when you put it like that, Glenn. It's picking up really quick.
Now, does this mean that you guys are kicking into overdrive and time to knuckle down?
I'm looking for the gear over. I'm on cruise control. Like, I've been going down the highway for half an hour already.
So now, are there still tickets available? Let's start there.
There are tickets available, and they are going to sell out. So if people would like to get tickets and are thinking about going to Road to the Horse, I would say grab your ticket and book your hotel room now, because they are going to be gone.
Now, I do want to say the nice thing about the Alltech Arena there at Kentucky Horse Park is that there's no bad seats. There really is not a bad seat in the way they designed that arena. You know, some arenas, you know, you're up in the corner, or, you know, they're kind of more, they seem squarer, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because this one is so rounded, there really is not, and I've sat almost everywhere there is to sit in that arena for various things, and it really is not a bad seat.
You would know.
Yes, I mean, I really have sat in almost every part of that arena.
They're all great seats there. It's just a matter of how close you want to be to the rail. That's about it. But they're all good.
You know, and actually, you know, I'm going to say this. I don't mean to discourage people from getting seats down by the rail. But for Road to the Horse, you're better off up higher. Don't you think?
Because yeah, when you're down near the rail, though, I mean, you're kind of eye level with that round pen you're looking at and the horses and that, and that's pretty exciting. But, yeah, when you're up higher, you can kind of see all the activity in every round pen. So, yeah, no, that's a good point, Glenn. There definitely isn't a bad seat there.
Because last year, I was sitting in the top row, and I really enjoyed that because you could really see everything that was going on.
I didn't sit down at the last one.
Yeah, I didn't see you sitting down either. All I ever saw you do was running around.
Yep.
With all your little helpers. Well, we have a fun show planned for today. Jennifer's going to tell us what is on it.
On today's Road to the Horse Thursday edition, we start with a visit from the top dog at Road to the Horse, and that would be Chief Operating Officer Debbie Sullivan. And then mid-show rock star of the horse world and 2006 Road to the Horse winner Stacey Westfall stops by. She's trying something a little new this year. And then slipping through the gateway to the weekend like a Shetland pony, Sean Patrick stops by with an update on how his wild card mount Captain's Pick is doing. And let's not tell Sean I just referred to him as a Shetland pony. So stay tuned for the phrase.
I'm going to try and remember that, but I have had a head injury, so you might be safe.
Sean's a good guy. He's been on several times. Didn't Sean play celebrity trivia with us on Wednesday, Jennifer?
Oh, he did.
Yes, yep. He did.
Yeah. He did. He played Celebrity Trivia. We had him playing against Mary Kitzmiller.
Yeah,
and,
Yeah,
and I think Mary won, if I remember right.
I'm sure the girl won, Glenn.
Yeah.
It's a trivia show.
We love
okay,
them both.
Our listeners will correct us if we're wrong, I'm sure.
Yes, so let me know who won or lost that. But we're actually taking a look. They're doing a clinic, Sean and Mary are, here in Florida in January, and I'm sure that'll come up. But we're mm-hmm. taking a look at trying to go over and doing the show live from there. So it's, you know, he lives along the beach, so I'm kind of not arguing about going to the beach in January and doing the show there.
I think that considers the Road to the Horse show, Glenn, and I really think I should
make
the trip.
You should come over. Yeah, definitely. That'd be fun.
That sounds like fun. Florida, beach, January.
Yeah, we plan on
horses,
getting a room right on the beach, actually.
Road to the horse.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Yep,
that'll work
count
out
me
great.
In.
All right, we'll see you there. Now, you have been busy this past month, and I know that you had excitement and disappointment all in the matter of about, what, half
about
a second?
A week. Yeah.
It was actually about a half a second.
Well, yes. Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Glenn.
No problem. So let's tell us all about your excitement there.
Well, and, you know, it's just kind of a good example, I guess, of the competitor spirit or being greedy. I'm not sure what you want to call it, but... My goal for my mounted shooting year this year was just to finish in the top 10. That was my goal. So I went to the shoots that I needed to, qualified for World, ended up second in the nation, which I wanted in the top 10. So I'm like, you know, you should be really happy with that you've not only you surpassed your goal, and that was what you had in mind. So went to the World Championships, winning the entire World Championships for the ladies, had a half-second lead, went into the last stage, and it was kind of like, squirrel.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, the problem was I was so worried about the turn that was in that pattern. I was looking at my turn and not at my targets and dropped a couple. And, you know, and when I walked out the arena, the announcer was like, oh, yeah, it's just, you know, sometimes pressure gets to him. And I'm like, oh, that's not me.
Oh.
And at
that's
first
like
I wasn't
you
upset
in the heart.
About it. You know, at first I was like, okay, you just messed up, you know, no problem. And then I was like, well, it's not like you lost the world or anything. And I'm like, well, you actually did, you know. So anyway, Glenn, I stopped at every Dairy Queen, I think, from Amarillo to Fort Worth.
Well, some peanut butter parfaits on the way home.
Snicker Blizzard, mini Snickers Blizzard. That was the ice cream of choice for the drive home.
You know, it is tough, though, because your goal was to be in the top 10. If you would have been fourth or fifth, you wouldn't have felt half as bad. When you come in second, you're that close to first. If you're third down, it's, you know, it's like, oh, great, I made it top 10, and you're all happy. But when you're second, it just sucks.
Well, yeah, and that's the same thing happened to me at World last year. You know, I barely got qualified with my surgery from my head injury. And then I ended up third last year, third or fourth, by half a second or something. And I'm like, I went back to my stall, and I was like, I was almost upset. I was like, oh, my gosh, I did it. I'm back in the saddle, and I'm back competing at the top, and life is so wonderful. And then I saw the scores, and I'm like, you were half a second from a world championship. Loser.
Well, now, were you on Handsome, your champion horse, or were you on one of the younger ones?
Yeah, I was on Handsome, and actually Handsome had a month off with shipping fever at the end of the
right.
year. I jumped on one of my other horses and almost enjoyed riding her more. She's a little rocket, and she's full of energy, and she's young, and really enjoyed her. So Handsome being sick kind of forced me to get onto something different, which I really enjoyed. But I did go back to him for World. He's my old hand, and he definitely had the speed and the time and everything. He just didn't have a good jockey.
No, I can't say that.
Anyway, I mean, really, I've kind of told myself since I got back, you've got to look at the big picture. You know, I got all my goals accomplished. I did what I wanted to. I'm back in the saddle, and that wasn't even an option a couple of years ago for me. And I'm doing a job that, with Road to the Horse, that I totally love. And life is great, Glenn, and sometimes you've got to step back and say, hey, stop being a little snot, you know. Be grateful for what you have. Anyone would love to be in your situation and put a smile on your face and get an ice cream.
So, now tell me, let's do this. Let's be good about this, Tammy, and let's mention who won Worlds this year.
Yes, Kendall Lonsine won again. She's won World before and had a great shoot. She really did. So she's a phenomenal shooter and probably one of the top lady shooters. So it was good to see her grab another title. And it's tough, Glenn. I mean, you're playing a game now that's being in the hundreds of seconds, and every little thing counts. So it's definitely got super competitive, and there's 20 girls that can go out there and win the world on any day. They're all that good. So,
compete against the men, or is it separated?
It's separated. We are in the standings ranked with the men, but we compete in our own classes except for rifle, and that's when all the girls are thrown in with the guys.
Okay.
So, but it's always fun to beat the boys.
are there big time differences between the men and the women, or everybody? I mean, when you're getting that, you have to be close.
They're the same. And sometimes I think the girls have better runs than the guys because the girls are smoother. But that's just because I'm a girl. But I think the best shooter of all time that I would say is the best shooter that's ever been is a gentleman. He actually won another world championship this year, Chad Little, and he's a phenomenal shooter and a great horseman. So, you know, I would say the best shooter out there is a guy, but the ladies can grab it at any day. So,
we're going to talk a little bit more about shooting as we get Stacey Westfall on, because she's going to be shooting at Road to the Horse 2015 in a demonstration there. And, of course, she won Road to the Horse before. And I think she's going to be shooting on the horse that she actually won Road to the Horse with, her horse Popcorn.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. But, now the Shooters of America is coming, and she's going to be shooting off Popcorn, a little colt that she won 2006 Road to the Horse with. So that's going to be exciting to see Popcorn come back.
Is it is it harder to learn the shooting aspect? You know, there's two real different aspects to a shooting to mounted shooting, and that's one, you've got to be a horseman, you have to know how to ride,
mm-hmm.
and two is you have to know how to shoot. What's the more difficult thing there? Are they both equally difficult to master?
Oh no, not at all. Huge difference, because I would definitely, if I had someone who had never shot before and I had someone who had never ridden before in front of me, I would always pick the person that's never shot before, because when you can ride this. I'm like me, Glenn. I can't hit the broadside of a barn. That's obvious at World. But if you can ride, you can concentrate on everything you're doing on that firearm. If you can't ride but you can shoot, you're like, where do I have my hands? Where do I need...
Right.
You can't get yourself there. And I've seen some world champion ground shooters come out to my place for lessons, and they can load and they can clean their guns and they can do whatever they need to do. They can't get there, you know? So... definitely it helps if you've ridden before. So,
well, when you come over for the gig in January that we're going to do the show out at the beach, bring your guns along, because we do have a shooting range right here on the farm.
Oh,
so
really?
You can practice your unmounted shooting. That
needs practice.
And you know what? If you're not good at all with that, we have shotguns. So that you don't have to worry about it.
Make a bigger pattern.
Yeah, exactly. We can help
That's
you out.
That's funny. Welcome to America.
That's right.
Oh,
you can't hit the broadside of a barn, you use a shotgun. Everything's good there.
And get really close.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly what we do. That's how we roll here in Florida.
How we roll in Texas.
That's right.
And I'm not even from here.
You know, you were telling me a funny story, speaking of Texas, you were telling me a funny story just a minute ago about going shopping. You were looking for a dining room table, and only in Texas can you find the one you found.
Oh, I know. I was so excited, and I went to this big mall, and I bought one basket for my bathroom to put towels in. It was $30, and I'm like, I got out of here so cheap, and I was headed to the truck, and like one of the last vendors had a dining room table with wooden horse heads carved around the corners. And it only had four chairs, and I was looking for one that had six. And I said, does this come in six? And he's like, no, this is the only one. And I was like, oh, I really wanted one with six chairs, but it's got horses.
You bought it, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I didn't get out of there very cheap, I can tell you that. But I have a one-of-a-kind dining room table.
Yes, with horses.
With horses.
All right, introduce our first guest for us.
This is, you know, I don't know a better way of saying it, but Debbie's like the duct tape that keeps the whole Road to the Horse team together. She's the little one running around, making sure everything's done properly, and we could not function without Debbie Sullivan, who is our chief operating officer. And actually, Debbie doesn't have a strong horse history. She's actually, I have to check with her, I think from New York. So it's kind of funny, but she came in and she keeps us all together and keeps the bus moving and couldn't do it without her. So we have Debbie Sullivan on the line.
Hey, Debbie.
Good morning. How are you guys today?
Good. Hey. You know what? Chief operating officer really in any company I've ever worked for means the person that gets all the crap nobody else wants to do. Is that pretty much it?
Thank you very much. That's about it. And I'm the one who gets to tell Tootie Bland the bad news.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, every chief, they'd give you a fancy title, but you're really the person in charge of all the miserable tasks. And the crap that just is
someone
awful.
Who understands you, Debbie.
One of the first things that Tootie did when she first hired me, I came from corporate America, and I was like, okay, well, how difficult could it be to put on a live event for, you know, thousands of people and work with 100 crew members? Hey, I handled 300 people in the past. I can do this. Well, let me tell you, was it an eye-opener? Not having a horse background, I call up Tootie one night, and I said, Tootie, I can't deal with this man. She goes, why not? I said, he's a horse cutter. She goes, what do you think that means? I go, well, it sounds pretty nasty. And she just burst out laughing. She's like, oh, Debbie, we've got a long way to go.
Debbie, you have the wrong accent, too. I got to tell you, you need to work on your Southern accent because that is so New York.
I know. She would have people call me all hours of the day and evening and ask me to say the word horse. And I'd be like, no, I'm not saying it.
Oh, someone else with an accent. That's funny.
Yeah, people will call and they'll say, I thought I'm calling Texas. I said, you are. Well, you don't sound like you're from Texas. I'm from New York. Well, where are you now? I'm in Florida. Boy, you have me confused.
Oh.
So,
Tootie can't be can never be accused of not promoting diversity because all she has to do is put you and Tammy together.
We're together all day, every day, aren't we, Deb?
Oh, yeah, we're joining at the hip now.
My goodness. There's nobody with a Southern accent that works there except for Tootie. Maybe she's keeping it that way. Maybe that's what she's trying to do.
Oh, there's no kind of. We're a band of gypsies, Glenn.
Oh, yeah, we're all over. I mean, we have fans that come from all over the world, and we have crew members that come from all over the country. We had one volunteer that came from as far as Alaska because he loved the event so much. He would travel all the way to Murfreesboro, Tennessee, just so that he can volunteer for the event. So, I mean, we have people from California, Arizona, all over the country our crew members come from. And this is the highlight of the year for all of us. We just absolutely love it. Matter of fact, this will be my third event. I can guarantee you at the end you'll see me in the corner crying like I did the past two. You know why? Because it's over. All year you work so hard on it, and then it's over.
And then it starts all over again.
But then we wake up the next morning and Tootie starts all over again. Exactly, yes. And we keep saying, how can we beat that? How can we make it better? And every year people say, how did you do it? This was the best yet. I keep thinking, oh, no, I hope she never runs out of ideas.
Nope. So your job, Deb, covers so much. Tell us just a few of the things that you do during the day that fills you up. I mean, just go over quick some of your major duties.
Well, the major duties would be the reporting, would be reporting directly to Tootie, would be the merchandise inventory, you know, dealing with all our different vendors and the bills, our nation's family is our topmost priority, really. Mm-hmm. Any phone calls that come in, I'll handle. If they have a problem getting online, I'll take care of it for them. If they don't like using the computer, I'll manually enroll them, or if they want to purchase merchandise because they do get a discount as a nation's member, I'm happy to do that for them. So, yeah, my job is just about everything. You know, I'm constantly on the phone with crew members. Travel arrangements have to get done for everybody for our big annual meeting we're having in a few weeks in Texas that Tootie will fly us in for. And then we start making preparations for everybody to go to Kentucky. I have to work with all the hotels. We have 10 great hotels that we've listed on the travel page of our website that offer a discount for anybody that's going to Road to the Horse. I work very closely with them because we want to try and give our customers, you know, the best deals we can in Lexington. So it's time where I start working with them again and filling up those hotels and making sure everybody has a room. I have to do the travel arrangements, whether they're being dispatched by truck, car, bus, or plane. So it's just, it keeps
me very busy.
I think
she can fill up the rest of the show, Glenn, with duties.
Yeah.
Poor Debbie.
It's not a 9-to-5 job, Tammy, as you know. So, but it's exciting and it's different and, you know, it's not the same thing over and over and over again. Every day.
Oh, no, it's never the same thing.
Never the same. And believe it or not, there's still so much to learn after 3 years. And two people say to me, do you still love your job, Deb? And I'll say, uh-oh, what is she going to give me now? Yeah.
Oh. Well, you mentioned the Nations Club. Debbie, tell us a little bit about what that is and what those members do get.
Oh, yeah, the Nations, it's an extended family of ours, and it's an annual membership. They get the ability to purchase their tickets before the public. As a matter of fact, on the last day of the current event, they can purchase the same seats that they were currently sitting in if they want them for the following year.
Mm-hmm.
So they get preferential treatment with ticket purchasing, and they also have, like I said, the legacy seating, which means if they want to keep those same seats, they get first pick at them. Besides that, they get early access into the All-Tech Arena for a meet and greet and also to do some early shopping if they want to try and beat the crowd. So you show your nation's card. You're allowed to bring in up to, I think it's 5 other people with you, and you get early access. It's like an hour before everybody else goes in, you get to go in. You get a 10% discount on our merchandise, either online or at the event, as long as you go to the Road to the Horse, the booths. We have a section that's just for nations, the seating at the All-Tech Arena, and we also have VIP parking for our nations people. That All-Tech Arena, the Kentucky Horse Park, is huge. We have one parking lot that is strictly designated for our nation members, and they get monthly emails from us with some inside information and a personal little note from Miss Trudy Bland. So besides that, the biggest benefit is our Road to the Horse TV now that we have. If you are a nation's member, you can go on Road to the Horse TV and watch some previous Road to the Horse events as well as clinics, some training tips we have. We have some videos from Mike Kevel on there. And it's going to continue to grow. It's fairly new. It's very new, actually. And it will continue to grow, and we will continue to put more and more videos on there. So our nation people, they have nothing to do on a Saturday afternoon. They just go on their computer, and they go on to Road to Horse TV and watch an event that perhaps they didn't get to go to or they just want to see again. So they have
awesome.
A lot of great benefits, yeah.
Sounds like you need that, Glenn, for the parking.
I know, just for the parking, because you can walk a long way when you're parked out there. It's a lot
there's
of people.
There's a lot of walking at the horse park.
It's amazing how many people will come to us the day, you know, the first day of the event, all out of breath. Oh,
I
need to get a parking spot. Yeah.
It's true.
It's like we don't turn them away. As long as we don't run out of parking spots, sure, we'll love to have you as a nation member. And then they re-enlist because they get to see all the other great benefits that they're entitled to as well.
Road to the Horse TV and legacy seating and all the other great benefits. That's super, Deb.
Yeah.
Did you get, did you get much blowback when you went from Tennessee to Kentucky? Was there, you know, you haven't regretted that move? been a good
move? No, not at all. No. Yeah. Does Tootie miss Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and the folks there? Absolutely. But you know what? Most of the fans followed us to Kentucky, and when they got there for the first time, they saw. You know, it was just a much bigger arena. You could see wherever you sit. There are a lot more ladies' rooms and men's rooms. There's beautiful concession stands. She said they can finally get a piece of pizza and a glass of beer. You know, so it was just wrote to us. In a way, I guess, outgrew Murfreesboro. And they just had a lot more amenities to offer in Lexington. So, but the fans, like I said, they did wind up following us there. And they do understand why the move was necessary. We had to turn people away in Murfreesboro when they wanted to come to the event. And that's a sad thing to do, you know. So yeah. It's time we went to a bigger place.
Awesome. That's great.
Well, now I got an important question for you. Obviously, you came from the corporate world and not the horse world. Are you riding now?
Okay,
that's a good question. Yeah. She has.
Let me tell you. Not as often as I'd like, but I went on the Western Horseman Trail Ride last year, and it was unbelievable. 4 hours of riding, and Tootie had put me on a horse when I got to her ranch, which was on a Thursday. I hadn't been on one for many, many years. And then Saturday, I wound up doing a four-hour trail ride. I couldn't sit for a week, but...
I was
going to
ask you if your butt hurt.
It really did. But, you know, I thought it was going to be flat pasture or for an hour
this
or two.
This is a tough ride, Glenn.
She handed me a new horse. We went to Palo Duro Canyon, and it was a four-hour ride. And even Tootie said it was far from flat.
Welcome to the horse world.
Everything you see in a Western movie about the plains and the hills and the water and the, we did it. By the end of the day, everybody knew me and was congratulating me that I stayed on the horse.
Made it through.
Yes.
Does Tammy have you shoot
it
yet? Does Tammy have a pistol in your hand?
Not yet. No,
not yet.
Tammy has. No, I'm afraid she may be doing that to me at the end of this month when we get together for our meeting. I have not had a pistol in my hand.
Well, thank you.
But I've actually
thank you
been
so
going.
Well, thank you so much, Debbie, for joining us. We really appreciate it. Chief Operating Officer, the head of all crap at Road to the Horse. And you have to work with Tammy every day. That deserves a raise right there. I mean, you deserve a raise just for that.
No. Tammy's been a godsend to us, and she's been a breath of fresh air, and she has great creative ideas coming out of her, and we're just doing great. We love working
together
with her.
Together we get it done, Glenn.
We get it done, that's right. She'll call me, I'll call her, and they'll be like, let's do this. Let me do it.
Well, Debbie, we'll see you in, 150 days, did you say, Tammy? So,
yep, around that.
All right. We'll see you in about 150 days, Debbie, in Lexington, Kentucky.
Thanks, Debbie.
Great, I look forward to it. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that was
fun.
And no, there's somebody, you know, she maybe hasn't picked up one of your pistols yet, but there's somebody that definitely has, and that's our next guest. And I might mention that our next guest was one of the first guests that we ever had on the Stable Scoop radio show here on the Horse Radio Network 5.5 years ago. We had her on, and she was like on episode number 20-something, I think it was. But a long time ago, and we're glad to have her back
ago.
Again. I know. It was actually about, yes, long time. Well, why don't you introduce her?
I know. Well, sometimes Tootie refers to Stacy as our first lady of Road to the Horse because she is the only cowgirl to win the Road to the Horse title in 2006 with Doc T. Tari, of whom she calls Popcorn. So welcome back to the show, Stacy.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it. It's just great to have one of our past champions back.
Yeah, it's great to be back on, and you're right. It's been a while, but I was on before.
Yeah, long time ago. It's been a while. Yeah.
Oh, But this time you're coming back to Road to the Horse in a completely, not as a competitor, as a demonstrator for the Mounted Shooters of America. But before we go into that, tell us a little bit about what it was like to be a cowgirl competitor at Road to the Horse with the boys and take the title. Was there anything different about being a girl?
Well, I think for me, one of the reasons that when I went into it, I didn't think there was anything different about it being a woman going into it. So I teased Tootie after the event.
Mm-hmm.
Because it took me a few months of interviews to realize that people kept saying,
going
what's it
to
like
it.
To represent all women? And I was like, uh-oh.
That's a lot on your shoulders.
That's a lot of pressure.
Good thing you didn't know that.
I thought I was just kind of challenging myself. I didn't realize I was representing all
representing
women.
Representing the
gender. and so that was kind of thing. But then at the same time, you know, I was a mom, and my kids were sick during Road to the Horse, and so I was doing everything I was doing in front of the cameras and in front of the crowd, and then I was going back to the hotel at night and dealing with fevers and,
aww,
you know,
oh,
all this kind of stuff. So I was kind of pulling like a double shift doing the mom thing. And really, I mean, I had other people that wanted to, but I wanted to do the mom thing, you know, because grandmas were there and everybody, and I wanted to do the mom thing and the Road to the Horse. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And but you were also one of the first competitors to purchase your colt. Is that correct?
Yeah. I believe I was the first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What made you want to purchase popcorn and continue his education?
I remember when we first were talking about me going to the Road to the Horse, the first question that popped into my mind was, what would this be like for the horse?
Mm-hmm.
And what would this change in the training? And I could kind of logically go down through and say, okay, well, normally I'm going to take 2 or 3 weeks to get to this point. Which steps are going to be critical, crucial? Which ones can I basically either speed up or skip? Because I do have a slower program normally.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I could figure out the pieces like that, but the part I wanted to know was mentally, what did it do to the horse? And I thought, well, the best way to do that's going to be to ask the horse, so why don't I go ahead and buy him, take him home, and then continue the training, and that way I will be able to compare it to what I would have traditionally done versus what I did here.
Mm-hmm. And what did you find out?
So what I found out was that, you know, when I walked out of there, you know, I'd done everything I'd done, and, you know, I took him home, and I started over again and went through all the steps again kind of slow. And what I found out was that, you know, they're really not solid broke at the end of 3 hours, which is what it was back then. So, I mean, you know, they're broke in one fashion, but not in the same way that they would have been if they'd had, you know, 3 weeks or and that's pretty logical. And then, you know, you had to, and then there's always, you know, but basically I went back through and there were parts of it that doing Road to the Horse sped up, and there were parts of it that I went back through and was like, hey, I'd like to repeat that lesson, you know, 5, 10, 15 more times. And so that was the study, and that was what popcorn did. And yeah, it was fun. I'm glad I did it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So what kind of horse is popcorn? Was he one that took a lot to get trust with? Was he one that just rolled with the flow? Or what kind of guy is he?
So looking at him now, he's a very high energy. I like to rate my horses kind of on a negative 10 being incredibly just lazy, quiet, and plus 10 being like that hot horse that you picture that's just been, you know, the hot, just naturally hot. And 0 being kind of my target goal for balanced in the middle. And some are born closer to that goal. And he's naturally pretty hot. Like, he's naturally kind of around like a plus 7 kind of a horse. He's always been kind of hot. That was interesting to learn after the fact, because it definitely gave me a lot of energy to work with at Road to the Horse.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting leaving Road to the Horse. One of the upsides was, you know, we went in there, he was pretty much untouched going in, and coming out of there when I took him home for the first few weeks, I was really the only one that he wanted to interact with. So, you know, feeding time or stall cleaning time or going to catch him to lead him from one point A to point B, other people were saying, okay, he doesn't need, like, I can't catch him. I'm not comfortable trying to even. And I'd walk up, and he'd walk up and stick the halter in. And that was interesting because something about the way that it all happened, kind of, he really did bond to me during that event. And he's just been a, I love him to pieces. I'll never sell him. And I just, I'll always keep him. And he's just got a special place, not for what he did as far as Road to the Horse, but he's just, I use him to pony. If you watch any of the stuff I've done on YouTube or the blog, you'll see me ponying Jack with that video series I've done all year, and then you'll see me ponying the Thoroughbred Al that I just worked with last month. And, you know, he's just, and he was my mounted shooting horse for the last few years also, and took me from a level one shooter to a level four shooter. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, Stacey.
And I'm almost,
go ahead. Well, go ahead. You can finish.
I was going to say, I've almost gotten to the point where I can let him run as fast as he wants to. I can't shoot as fast as he wants to be able to go. So if I give him his head on the rundown, I miss balloons, which is not good for my time. So I still, I'm almost to the point where I can let him run. I'm hoping I can get to the point where I can actually ask him to run faster.
That's coming.
But my thumb needs to get some more
thumb
speed.
Needs to catch up.
Yep.
Well, Stacey, how did he get the name Popcorn?
That was really. It makes me laugh every time I think about it because when we're down there, we're working on the arena floor, and I just remember telling Rick Lamb, and you know, you can watch it on the video. I'm telling Rick Lamb, yes, I bought the horse last night, and you have to think at the end of the first day, I looked clearly the furthest behind. And I left the arena Saturday, and I bought that night, and we're going to the arena the next day, and we start working, and I am way behind everybody else is what it looks like. And because the horse was, I was getting him to come and choose me, and so it just took a lot of time. And so it turned out excellent the next day because he just turned and just came to me, and we just took off. But I said, yep, Rick, I decided to buy this horse last night. And I named him, he came from the Cornelius Ranch. At the time, I didn't know any of his bloodlines, any of his anything. I knew he came from the Cornelius Ranch. He has a big C branded on him. And I was like, I called my mom Saturday night after I bought him. And I said, you know, I'm trying to figure out a name. My mom's always been really good. I'm like, Cornelius Ranch, got any ideas? She said, well, the first one that pops into mind is Corny. And I'm like, yeah, we're not going with Corny. And then she's like, give me just a minute. Popcorn. And I'm like, that's it. But then I just remember I announced it down there, and Rick Lamb, I'm telling him, and he's announcing it and explaining it to everybody, and we're talking about why I decided. And you know, and then we go back to work, and about 3 minutes later, Craig Cameron, he comes up, he goes, Rick, come over here, because you can't hear each other real well sometimes when you're on the floor and you're busy working. He goes, did I just hear that Stacy bought that horse and named it Popcorn? And Rick says, yep, that's right, Craig. He goes, man, it's hard to compete against a woman. And it was really funny. So every time I get asked about Popcorn or any of that, all I can hear is Craig Cameron. He was just so funny to be with.
I've heard that story before, and every time I think about it, I laugh, and it makes Tootie laugh. And it's just like, man, working with a girl. She's named it. She's bought it. She's taking it home.
It was funny.
That was pretty awesome.
You know, you were kind of surprised that you ended up winning that, weren't you? Because I know Martin Black, his horse was, like, crossing bridges and laying down, doing all this stuff. I think you were kind of surprised, weren't you, that year, if I remember right?
You know, what was really kind of neat about that year was that, so the way I remember it, like, it ended up, and we got to the end, and they're like, okay, well, how are we going to do this? It was like a ladies first. I ended up doing the first obstacle course.
Wow.
And it was a long weekend. The kids are sick. I'm working the horses. There's all this physical, emotional, all this stuff that's going on. And I went out there, I did my obstacle course, which I really liked because at the time you could see the other competitors. I think they keep them now kind of sequestered away to where you can't see what the other one's done. But back then you could see, and I'm like, I'm so thankful that I went out there first. I had nothing but to lay everything down that I had, and that's all you can ever do anyway is all you have. And so I laid down everything I had, And then I walked away, and I did just go up and went, you know what? It's out of my hands, and they're going to do what they're going to do, and I've done all I can do. And I think somebody took a picture of me. I was laying on the couch up in the VIP room just like, oh, my God, 5 minutes to breathe before we find out anything else. And so it was it's an awesome thing when you go, and whether you're competing in reining or whether you're competing in, you know, the road to the horse, or whether when you're doing different things, competition is about, for me, figuring out how to get to know myself better, know what I know better with the horses, but I'm very competitive with myself, and I think that that can be a strength, and that you're, you know, you kind of lay out everything you have, but then let go of the outcome. I can't control the judges. I can't control what the other people do or don't do or how this goes, and just kind of letting go of that outcome, and that just makes competition a lot better for me. And that's what I did that year, and that was good. And then there was actually an element of surprise because I didn't watch the others until later on video. I didn't watch any. I didn't watch it.
Well, Stacy, there are three. I think everybody has their favorite Stacy Westfall moments, right? And I have three. I have three of them. One is the amazing video that's gotten 20 million hits on YouTube. Of course, everybody knows that video and has seen it many times before. There's two others for me. One is Ellen, when you were on Ellen, because that was just so much fun. And you know how many horse people have been on national shows like that? Not a lot. So that was kind of fun. And Ellen was the perfect one to do that with. And then the other one for me, because we covered it, we did the 2010 radio show, the WAG radio show, was the opening ceremonies at the WAG in Lexington when you rode there. That was what very special moment. You've been on all these big stages. You've done all of these things. What has been your favorite, and what has been your most terrifying?
And these all have to be big events, right?
No, whatever. You know.
All
done so many.
You know, my it's so I just finished. I just did a photo shoot yesterday with for the mounted shooting and for the event that we're going to be doing down at Road to the Horse. And so I'm up here in Maine, which is where I'm originally from. And we did some shots around here. And then they said, "What would you know? Do you have any other ideas?" And I said, "I want to swim. I want to swim my horse." There's this place where when I grew up, I would ride down and I would swim all the time. Now, you have to remember that if you can remember back to earlier in this week, the state of Maine was in an emergency with like 150,000 people out of power because of the snowstorm that just came through.
Right. Yeah, we've seen that. Yeah.
It's really cold.
It's a little cold up here. Like, we were shooting and there's snow on the ground. We had 5 inches here. A friend had 20 inches just 45 minutes up the road. And so it's been snowing and we're down there, and my favorite part, it goes back to the horse. Like, so my horse has never been swimming. I'm walking up to the edge and it's all squishy with all the dead leaves, and I'm convincing my horse to walk into the water and go out here, and I'm
like, you're crazy.
And I don't know which part of this is better. My horse has never been ridden bareback, so this is the best time to pull the saddle off and try it while I'm trying to take him into the water for the first time. While it's November and there's snow on the ground and I'm riding my horse in to go swimming. But my favorite memories are these tiny little moments that come with horse. Like that one, he's looking over his shoulder. Like he's literally, this horse has a habit of looking over his shoulder at me. Like he's literally looking to me for guidance, and he's looking over his shoulder like, really? Like, okay,
yeah,
then.
Really?
You sure? Okay, then. And, but there are these little moments, like even, you know, my favorite moments at Road to the Horses or different things like that are usually just a quiet little moment in the barn, like when I'm walking back to the stall. And I loved that Roxy used to cock her head. You know how a dog will cock their head, kind of like angle it at like a 45-degree angle? Roxy always loved her food, and when I'd walk down through, she would know my spurs. She could hear my walk and my spurs, and she would cock her head that way because I usually had her next to my tack stall, and I'd throw the hay over the wall, and she'd stand there with her head cocked like the dog.
Aww.
And so there's the silly moments, the little silly moments where the horses are my favorite ones. Terrifying ones are usually the bigger stage ones. Like, for example, the Ellen show, I was like, if they ask me to dance with Ellen, I'll die on the spot. And if and if I and I kept they you're behind the scenes and they're getting ready. They want you to go out there. Well, like Ellen's high energy and they want you high energy. And they're like, are you excited? Are you ready? And I'm like, I'm ready. I'm scared. And then I just kept thinking, I'm going to fall. I'm good on a horse. I'm not good on my own 2 feet. Do you notice this theme? I don't want to dance. I don't want to walk out on stage. I'm thinking I'm going to be the one that trips going down all of the 2 steps you have to step out onto stage. So, yeah. They're definitely terrifying moments of like that. Oh, no.
Hey, Tammy, I think she just invented a new sport, floating shooting. You can do it in the water, and the balloons are just floating.
Is that kind of like water polo, but water shooting or something?
Yeah. New sport.
Not sure the guns would enjoy that, Glenn. You might get a little bit of rust in there.
Sure, you're going to need a different kind of gunpowder.
That's funny. How did Popcorn take the mounted shooting, Stacey? Was he difficult to get started with a gunfire? Was it something he was born to do, or something you had to convince him it was okay?
He's still not convinced. It's been fun because I've started, I've only started a handful. I definitely was saying when I was going into the mounted shooting, I said, you know, basically I'm a professional horse person. And then my hobby is mounted shooting. Like my hobby is like for a while, my hobby was minis. So I got a couple minis, and when I was done with work, what did I do? I went out and played with the minis and broke them and trained them how to drive because horses are so a part of me that when I'm not working, my hobby is and fill in the blank. And so I got into the mounted shooting, and it was like it was my hobby. It was what I did in my off time when I wasn't doing whatever my work was with the horses. And I started, and I already knew Popcorn's a forever horse for me. And I've started just a handful of them, but the ones I've started have been kind of Popcorn. He didn't want to be, he's so well trained that I did round pen work where he was at liberty and I would shoot and he would stay with me, but you could tell he had to work. He didn't want to stay with me there. Like the first time, like he's turned in, he's facing me. I'm in a round pen, like I would have been a rode horse. He's loose. I've got the gun. I shoot away from him, and it was so funny because he's facing me, and he looked like a cutting horse because he jumped right, like he was going to go out and to around the round pen. Then he jumped left, then he jumped right straight back to me, all in like a cutting horse. Boom, 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 and he's right back to me because he's like, I know the answer is here, but naturally I want to leave. And so it was very fascinating because he was a slow study, and I remember being able to be with Annie. I always like to call her Outlaw Annie, you know, because I'm still liking the whole stage name. So Annie Bianco was down at the Tennessee with me, and I asked her, I said, do you ever have a horse that you just can't get? And she said, and I told her, and she goes, if you have one that's being really, just is reactive, just really hesitant like that, and you have the time, then just take the time, and you'll be amazed. And it was good because, I mean, that's kind of where I was headed anyway, but that confirmation of hearing it from somebody else. And every year I've brought him back out, he's relaxed. I mean, I can stand there, loose rein, shoot. But it was kind of interesting because when I was learning to shoot, you know, I'm riding him, he's doing fine, but he's kind of flinching. You know, I don't want to say flinching, but he's a little braced against it. But the first several practices I went to when I was, you know, trying to get better at the actual sport, I went and I kept missing balloons. You know, I'd done a lot of practice at home just as far as the training side of it, getting the horse to accept the gun, getting myself familiar with it, getting all the safety. But I went to the practices and I kept missing at the practices. And I said, what am I doing? And they watched me and they all started laughing. And that's always disturbing when your coaches all start laughing at you. And I said, what am I doing? And they said, you shut your eyes right at that moment when you go to pull the trigger. I'm like,
you're like, oh, no.
But it was, so I was kind of like, I was flinching away from it. So rewinding, I wonder how much of the baggage Popcorn had with it. Cause I didn't grow up around the guns. I didn't grow up around any. I mean, I shot my brother's BB gun when I was a kid, and there were just like the flash, you know, I guess I was just kind of like, there was some part of me. Well, once I recognized that, And was like, oh, you're right. I am kind of like, what am I doing? Why am I having, what's going on? Why, I hadn't even thought about it. Once I went through that, I went through it. Well, amazingly, guess who followed? So the horse started to get a lot more relaxed. I mean, And so I'm glad that I took my time, and I'm still to this moment not sure how much of it I kind of created in him because mm-hmm. I was in that learning stage too. Mm-hmm. So interesting. But he was the long-term one. But now he's just – he's fun because he's so trained. You know, I walk in and he knows what's coming. I know what's coming. And we, you know, we can stand there, survey, take off. And, I mean, and he wants to run. Like I said, he can run faster than I can shoot. I have to kind of just kind of keep him rated back to where I can still hit things. And then we run, we cross the line, stop, and, you know, drop the loose reins. And, you know, he's completely good with it.
Great. That's awesome. Yeah, some of them can be hard, that's for sure.
Yeah, he's very long, and I mean, that's what I'm enjoying about learning and being able to ask different people. You know, have you had some take a long time?
I have, and you're right about sometimes if people want to start horses and they send them to me to start, I tell them, you know, dry fire at home, but please don't do anything more than that until you come mm-hmm. out and get some, because sometimes the retraining, you know, takes a lot more than training.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
some just need convincing. And over the horses I've trained, I've only ever sent two home in the last 10 years that I would not train if you take the time. And that's exactly what Annie said. I think people want to get started in mounted shooting, and they're like, and they go to a practice, and people with the best of intentions give them a gun and be like, oh, see if he shoots. And really, that's like the worst thing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
So I know we had a conversation at Road to the Horse, actually, about how difficult reining horses were to turn into shooting horses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, that was interesting.
Yes, and I had the exact same problem. You know, the reiners were very, very programmed and very difficult for me to switch over. But phenomenal horses. I have a little Dunnet mm-hmm. here that I love. It's probably my number two horse. But, some of them do take a little convincing, and it's just their personality. So
you would assume that the barrel horses would be the easiest ones, right?
No, I stay away from them.
No? Oh, really? Is that right?
Yeah. I like the working cow horses, cutting horses, ranch horses. So anything mm-hmm. that's broken, that's been hauled, and that's seen the sights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it all comes back to how much handle you've got, but... Oh, that's really interesting. Well, fans will be in for a treat at Road to the Horse next year when they get to see Popcorn come back as a Road to the Horse graduate.
Mm-hmm.
So, and represent Mounted Shooters of America, and we're excited that you're coming back to Road to the Horse. I know Tootie was just thrilled to have you back, Stacey. So we're excited about it, and we look forward to March next year with you and Popcorn.
Yes, it's going to be fun.
Super. And your website, westfallhorsemanship.com, is that the best place for people to learn more, and your Facebook page?
Yep, that and my Facebook page, which is really active. So, yep.
Your Facebook page, I wouldn't say it wastes a lot of my time, but I go over and check out what you're up to, and then I get pulled into all the little videos, like the Congress video and the warm-up, and I'm like, you're supposed to be working on Road of the Horse stuff, Tammy. So if you have some time...
Well, I'm glad
your,
to hear that. I'm glad to hear it's got that draw.
It has. I was like, oh, look at this. Oh, look at this. Oh, this is cool. Oh, I want to watch this. I watched the first 30 seconds, and you're like, no, I'll watch a little longer. This is really interesting. So you have a great Facebook page. Everyone needs to go check that out, and we'll look forward to having you at Road to the Horse. So thank you so much for joining us, and best of luck with you and Popcorn, and the fans will love to have you back in 15.
It'll be fun. I can't wait.
Thanks
for
so
having
much.
Me on.
Oh, our pleasure. Thanks for joining us. Thanks, Stacey.
Well, look forward to seeing her. I was just actually, while you were talking to her there, I was on her Facebook page, and that's what I was doing. So
it's like this gravitational pull.
Well, you know, and what's neat about her Facebook page, and I'm always interested, you know, with the bigger celebrities, and she's definitely a bigger celebrity in the horse world for us. You know, she has like 380,000 fans over there, which is also unheard of in the horse world. But she answers a lot of the questions that come in, and she gets a ton of people that write her questions on her page,
mm-hmm.
mostly about training their own horses and things like that.
For sure, and you know it's coming from her, and I think that's
you can tell the genuine deal about that. It's not a PR person that's answering. You can tell it's her.
Yeah.
So good for her, because that's tough to find the time to do.
Oh, very tough. And the bigger it gets, the more time it takes. So, yeah, I love her Facebook page. She does a great job.
All right, let's take a break for a song. I thought I'd do something different here today and give you something that was a little more fun, we have for you today one that we haven't played in a while, but I know our listener, our regular listeners like. It's called Cowhand.com. And it's
I love that song.
By Dan Roberts, right?
Yes, great song.
Dan did a lot of writing for Garth Brooks. You would know a lot of his songs. Garth sang and is out singing on the tour right now. A lot of Dan Roberts songs. He's from Texas, right, Dan?
He is. Absolutely. Alito, Texas, just out of Fort Worth. Great guy. And this is such a funny song because I've spent a lot of time out on the ranch, and this is so true.
Cowhand.com.
Brand new ranch. It was owned by a bunch of fancy pants, but they did have several high dollar trucks and trailers. Well, there was barns and pens. It was under construction, and I was informed by phone I'd receive my instruction in a video arriving in a padded mailer. It said, sort the cows in pen 11, then bring us the tags so we can scan them. And I didn't have a clue, but I took a sack full of them to headquarters. There was a lady at a computer typing in numbers, and the more she typed, the more I felt dumber, and she said, yep, 501's too old, gotta go back and sort her. I replied, I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com. I don't know where I just landed, scroll me back to where I'm from, cause I don't need no printout telling me that it's time to wean. Never seen a cow pulled by a machine, and this information highway keeps my pony sore and lean. I ain't no cowhand.com. Well, my security pass / photo ID opened the gate and picked out a horse for me, and you punch in a code and it'd start an automatic feeder. Of course, you still had to step over what them cows was downloading, and you did hair analysis with a digital modem, and put a cow up on the screen, it'd tell you which bull's going to breed her. Well, then they give me this laptop from my saddlebags, and it got dusty out riding drag, and I knew the boss was going to have my hide. Well, they said, just boot it up, open the windows, something about a mouse and a bunch of menus, so I hauled off and kicked it. I kept the windows closed because it was freezing outside. I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com. I don't know where I just landed. Scroll me back to where I'm from, because I don't need no printout telling me which stall to clean. Never seen a horse shod by a machine, and this information highway keeps my pony sore and lean. I ain't no cowhand.com. Well, then they start talking downsizing and linking up. I told them I was heading for the tall and the uncut. They could stick that Pentium right in their AOL. There's faxing emails and hazing the web, and they even had a megabyte RAM. That sounds inbred. I reckon those people wouldn't know the difference between a hard drive and a paper trail. I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com. Don't need no information highway to get back to where I'm from. And I don't need no printout telling me which colt is green. Never seen a bronc broke by a machine. Besides, this little cell phone just don't fit good in my jeans. I ain't no cowhand.com. I ain't no http://, all one word, all little letters, www.cowhand.com. Yep, that's what you get when you try to cross one of them computers with a cowboy.
Well, that was Dan Roberts and Cowhand.com. He does a lot of fun songs like that. You can find all of his music on YouTube or on iTunes, actually. Just search for Dan Roberts, and you'll find all of his music. I am Glenda Geek here with Tammy Sarantz. and we are bringing you today the Road to the Horse episode of Horses in the Morning. And we are also joined by Coach Jen in the producer chair today. I wanted to mention to everybody that tomorrow morning on Horses in the Morning, we have our special holiday buying episode for you with the help of Equestrian Collections. Jamie, Jen, Debbie from Equestrian Collections, and I will bring you our favorite picks for the holidays. Yeah, it seems like it's a little early, but guess what? We are less than two, we're actually about 6-7 weeks away from Christmas. And if you're going to get
I know, it's hard to believe. Count down to Christmas, and we haven't even ate turkey for Thanksgiving.
I know, but you know what? Thanksgiving is later this year, so there's less time for you to get stuff done between Thanksgiving and Christmas this year. I have to tell you, it's a lot less time. And if you're going to get one of the things, what reasons we do it so early, if you're going to get anything customized, like you want to get tags or whatever for your gifts, anything customized, you have to start now. So, that time.
Glenn.
Sorry, Tammy, you just got your Christmas present. You don't get another one. Dining room table. That's what you get.
I have no hesitation buying myself stuff. You know, some people like, oh, I shouldn't get that this month, or not me. I work hard. I'm okay with buying myself stuff. Stuff from my horse, anyway.
That'll be tomorrow morning's show. We have a special episode. No really bad ads tomorrow morning. That will be back next week. You can still send your submissions in to Jennifer at Horse Ready. I know. If we miss really bad ads, people are really upset. So
yeah.
We'll be back next week. Next week it'll be back. Send your entries in to Jennifer at HorseRadioNetwork.com. Well, coming up next is a guest that has been on the show and has played our celebrity trivia before. And we'll have to ask him if he won or not. I can't remember. I think he got
beat.
Well, you
don't want to ask him if he lost, Glenn.
Oh, no, I would ask him if he lost. That's no problem. You can ask him that. Yeah, no problem at all. Why don't you introduce Sean?
Sean Patrick is a 2014 and 2015 wild card from Road to the Horse. He's done a phenomenal job with his horses. Sean, welcome to the show.
How are you guys this morning?
Good. Great to have you back. Thanks for joining us again.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Great. Well, yeah, we just figured we'd get an update on your pony and see how he's doing. And I know you've got some events coming up in January, and thought you could tell us a little bit about where you're at as well. So tell us how your horse is doing to start off with.
Well, you know, when you have a project like this that starts in the spring and ends in the spring, you know, it's going to be lots of ups and downs and trying to figure things out, and you're trying not to push here and you're trying to push there. And you're.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really, really pleasantly surprised at how well he's come around in the
mm-hmm.
last month. He's been to two reining shows now. We just did some schooling classes, and this last one I kind of just cruised him around, but I did get him shown one-handed, and he's making some mistakes and doing this, that, and the other, but his as far as skills go, he's really coming around. And, you know, just the daily handling and riding, we don't give him a whole lot of time because he's young, so I don't ride him for too long, but I'm really happy with how his skill set's coming. As far as being a good broke using horse, we're working on it still. He's quite shy, and we've just started introducing firearms, and we're starting to throw more rope off him, and we're taking him to an obstacle challenge in a week over at Rocking Horse in Central Florida, and so he's going to start seeing a lot more. We've shown him a lot of it, you know, here and there, but I haven't really focused on it because he just wasn't quite broke yet, so I was having more success with him in the, you know, working on some of the skill sets
mm-hmm.
that I've kind of backed off of that just to get him a little quieter, and then I can start maybe pushing that a little more and have more success with him. So I'm really happy with where he's at. He's still not quite between my legs, and he's still not 100% calm, but if your average fella came up and looked at him, they'd think he was pretty broke. So you're doing really well, but we still have a long way to go. I'm trying to get ready for March.
Well, Sean, you know, people forget, too, that we live in Florida, so the last 3 months have been very hot and humid here. It kind of limits what we, you know, our good time starts about 2 weeks ago when the humidity broke, and you can actually, you know, do something during the day as opposed to having to do everything you do early morning and evening because it's just too hot and sticky, and especially down where you are, you get a little bit of the ocean breeze, but it still gets humid down there.
Yeah, I've really found that, like, this summer was very difficult to trail ride here because of the deer flies, and it's just kind of a wreck. So you do a lot in open spaces and, you know, out on the eventing grounds or out in the big field or in the arena with a breeze. So now that we have winter, you know, we've endured the summer and now we have the beautiful season ahead of us. So I think we'll be able to jump ahead a little bit now. And he's good and ready. He's in great shape. He's very, very sound. He's very happy. And I think the next few months are going to be a blast. We have Jimmy Anderson coming down in a few weeks, and I know he's going to push me, so I'm ready. In a
even
good way.
Coaches
he's
need
a good
coach.
Buddy, so he'll be probably hard on me, but for my benefit.
Absolutely, yeah. He's a great person to come down and help.
Yeah, yeah.
Last year's winner.
Yeah.
This year's winner, really.
Doesn't get better than that.
No. Nope. So how does Jack compare to your 2014 colt, Joker? Do you think they're at the same point as they were? Do you think Jack's a little further ahead? Are they different personalities? How would you compare those two boys?
I wouldn't say they're polar opposites, but they're quite different. Jack is very tentative and very shy, and he's a nice guy. Like, he doesn't want to harm you. He's not aggressive. He's mm-hmm. not disrespectful. He's very, very kind. But he's also not extremely confident.
Yeah.
Now, he's getting there. Whereas Joker, he was kind of a teenage brat in a way. Like, he was quite confident. And if he didn't like something, he'd kind of fight you on it. And he would
mm-hmm.
Jackal scooch. Joker would bronk.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that being said, Jack is way more athletic and way more nimble and a nicer body type for the reining patterns.
Oh, good.
And, he loves puzzles. So when you show him obstacles that are difficult, he does try to figure him out. So, like, I mean, we're standing on pedestals, and I don't have a hard time getting him through a lot of the obstacles. It always surprises me as to what bothers him. You know, we'll be walking around, and there's something that's absolutely crazy beside him, and he doesn't even look at it. And then the next thing that doesn't look so bad, he does shy at. So we went to a reining show a couple weeks ago, and it was Halloween-themed, so we had all the kids and the dogs with costumes on. He didn't mind it at all. And there was these big blow-up, you know, jack-o'-lanterns, and he was fine with it all, and then he would shy at the gate. So so we're still in the process of getting him going, getting him broke, but he's doing really well.
Oh, good.
Okay. You know, I was just going to say, sorry, Tammy, I was just going to say,
good?
About to follow up on that, you know, I've asked riders before, how do you prepare for going in a ring with 8,000 people when you don't have 8,000 friends to practice that, right? You know, with 8,000 people in there cheering and hooting and hollering, you can't recreate that specific thing. And, you know, some of them have said it's almost easier when there's a large crowd and so much going on because they can't focus on all of that. They said it's almost harder when you're riding through a field and there's that plastic bag blowing across the field. That's harder than preparing for something that's so overwhelming that they can't focus on any of it, so it's easier. Do you find that?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Like, I find that on our ranch when it's a quiet day, you know, little things that change, like where the tractor's parked or where it might bother the 2-year-olds or 3-year-olds, whereas when you're somewhere new and there's all kinds of stuff, nothing's changed in their mind because they've never been there. And so they don't tend to react to necessarily what's there, but a lot of times horses, when they're young, react to change. You know, when we were working on an outfit and the grizz bears would roll over the big rocks and they'd been on that trail the week before, they would actually spook at the rolled rock just because it had moved. But they weren't afraid of rocks. So I think sometimes when they get in their patterns and they're used to seeing things and things are quiet on your own farm, that they react to little things that change. But then when you go over to a team rope and tie up at the fence, they just cock a leg and fall asleep. So I think that sometimes going to a really big event like that actually is a little bit easier. I didn't have a problem with him at the reining shows. There was a lot going on, and, you know, he was really good. He held it together quite well.
There are exceptions to that, and one of them was when Jennifer and I went with Wendy, the host of our driving radio show, in a parade. And her lead horse did not like any of it. And we had to bail out of the parade before we killed little children along the route. So there are exceptions to that.
For sure, yeah. Parade's definitely challenging. Yeah.
Oh, I know Mary Kitzmiller and Jimmy's coming down for an event. Tell us a little about it at the event that you're going to have planned for January. And is that a Pioneer Trail Reserve, John?
Yes, we're going to host it at Pioneer Trail Reserve in New Smyrna Beach. We have a Pioneer Trail Reserve is a gorgeous indoor facility. We're going to be set up perfectly for this event. We're calling it the Three Amigos Horsemanship Symposium, and we have three sets of three. We have three Road to the Horse friends. We have three geldings that were raised together on the 4.6s that are going to be used for teaching, being Jack, Guthrie, and Smokey. And then we'll also have three reining prospects that have not been started under saddle that will get started during that three-day event. So we are organizing about 18 one-hour teaching sessions in our arena, and we're going to, it's going to be pretty high-end. We're having it fully catered, and we'll have, you know, great food and great music and great everything. On the Saturday night, we're going to have a private concert from Julie Roberts, and we're going to have a wonderful meal with all the trainers. So we're pretty excited about putting this on, and we hope that everybody feels the same. We kind of designed the perfect clinic of what we thought would be the perfect clinic. If you're comfortable, you're well-fed, and you get to watch a lot of different things happen, I think it should be
sounds like you got it covered.
The people coming past.
And we're trying to work out the details, Sean, but we're still looking at coming over if we can figure out the internet connection to get the show on. We're still looking at coming over and doing the show live from the clinic. So we're still working on that.
Super
we haven't
fun.
Forgotten about it.
Okay, yeah, super fun. We'd love to do that.
We're trying to get Tammy to come in so she can come over.
Yeah, that
and
came
and
up a little earlier on the
work.
Show, so
I'm going
to try and make it a work trip.
Yeah, you've got a lot on your plate, I know, with the big event coming up, but you're definitely open door here for the event. We'd love to have you. It'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that'd be great. It'd be great. It sounds like it's going to be a super event.
Yeah.
So it's great.
Jimmy, I'm going to take Jimmy to the Daytona 500, too. So.
Oh, wow. I'd say I've never seen car races like that.
I hadn't until I moved here, but it's good fun.
That let's clarify that Jimmy is not one of his horses, so clarify that.
I tried to get Joker last year into the infield because we have connections to NASCAR, and for liability reasons, they kind of put a kibosh on that, but it would have been good. We do have a state fair down the road this next weekend, so I might take Jack over there and look at the Ferris wheel. I'll take a picture.
I'm glad you qualified that, Glenn, because I totally thought Sean was taking one of his horses to the Daytona 500, and I want to see that.
Okay, well, I will keep working on that. I have a local track, a short track. Maybe I can. That'd be fun, right? Getting in the middle, he could be right in the pits.
That would be decentralization, that's for sure.
Start out of Bubba's
race. It's either going to be fun or not fun. It's going to be one of the two.
Well, we're all going fast anyway. We can.
Oh.
Well, Sean, where can people find out about it?
My website, seanpatricktraining.com, is where they can see an information page and download some info and also go to my store on there and purchase not only the event ticket but the VIP dinner ticket. And we'll probably have some little specials going on where they'll get a book or a DVD set with the tickets. And, we need everybody to sign up as fast as they can so we have a head count and we can prepare for the food and all that. I'm really looking forward to it, and I sure hope the locals and people from up north. We have quite a few tickets sold to people up north, so people are
good. Well, yeah, who doesn't want to come to Florida in January?
Right. Put their girlfriends together, make it a weekend. And
hey, if you have a spouse that's not interested in horses, you just literally, you get a hotel on the beach in New Smyrna Beach, which is a great beach. You get a hotel on the beach, you leave them there, you go do the horse thing, they can do their own thing at the beach. It's perfect.
Mm-hmm. It's a great area for, it's so much fun here in the winter, too.
It is. PioneerTrailReserve.com is where you can find out more about the place that you're going to be holding it. They have a website as well. Sean, we're looking forward to seeing you in January.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's fun talking about my horse, and it's great talking with you guys. And anytime.
Yeah, thanks, right. Sean. We appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you,
Sean. A great day, you guys.
You too. Bye.
Okay, bye.
What a great guy. And, you know, that just goes to show you, too, the camaraderie of all of the different wild card competitors there, that they really do help each other out during the year. Yeah, they're competitive on the day, you know, on the weekend, but they're helping.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all friends. And it's a pretty small world when you think about it.
Oh, yeah. And it's great that they're getting together and practicing and putting together events. And it's just, it's a great camaraderie, like you said, Glenn. Great camaraderie.
Now, you had said something earlier in the show. See, I don't understand all the terminology, but you had said something earlier in the show about the Remuda, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep. This is how much I love my job, Glenn. 1 week, I went to the Cowgirl Hall of Fame luncheon and got to meet Mary Walker and a bunch of other superstar cowgirls. And then the next day, I got to go out to the Four Sixes Ranch and watch Dr. Blodgett select the 2015 Remuda that will have it rode to the horse. So that's going
What's
to be released.
What's the Four Sixes Ranch like, by the way? What's that place like?
You know, the one thing I learned at this trip to the Sixes, when they say trap, you have to clarify the acreage of the trap. Because they're like, oh, you know, we've got all the colts up in a trap. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'll take my short lens.
Does that mean like a paddock? Like we would think of a paddock?
Well, I thought a trap would be like at a feedlot, you know, like some pipe pens and like where they have the cow working pen in the pasture. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll grab the up-close lens. And, well, a trap's 100 acres to someone who works on the Sixes. I'm like, they're in the trap. I'm like, yeah, we'll go get them. And I'm like, okay. So then we went to another to look at another colt, and they're like, well, this colt's up in the trap too. And I'm like, okay, how big's the trap? It was funny. I mean, they just talk in acres. So it was pretty exciting. But the Remuda, we're going to release it very shortly. Beautiful horses, Glenn, beautiful horses.
That really sucks when you want to go out and get your horse and he's in the back of the 100 acres.
Well, these are young horses turned out growing. But some of the other horses are up. But it was pretty cool. So it was a great week, and get to talk to Dr. Blodgett about bloodlines and the Remuda and the horses coming out and why he crossed mares with which particular stallions. And, you know, it's a hard job, Glenn. love my job. So I had a wonderful time at the Sixes, and so very excited to release Remuda.
Now, you were nominated for the Cowgirl Hall of Fame 1 year, right?
Yeah.
You brought that up.
Yep.
That's
correct. Yep, I sure was. But, you know, when you go there and you look around at all the amazing cowgirls, there's Western screenwriters, there's trick riders, there's Mary Walker there, there's just... gosh, you're like in greatness. So it's pretty humbling and inspiring, all in the same deal. So love the Cowgirl Hall of Fame.
What town is that in?
It's in Fort Worth.
Fort Worth, okay.
Everything's cool in Texas, Glenn, except for Rolex and Road of the Horse. Road of the Horse is still in Texas. We're based in Texas.
That's true. Based in Texas. Why, you know, do you know why she never started it in Texas?
It actually started in Texas. The first, you're going to test my history now. I want to say the first year or two was in Fort Worth at the Cowtown Coliseum, and then moved to Murfreesboro. So, started in Texas, went to Murfreesboro, went to Kentucky. It's getting bigger and bigger facilities, Glenn.
Did she move it just because it was easier for everybody to get to? It was more centrally located for everybody? Yeah.
Yep, it was easier for everyone to get to, and it was a great facility, and it worked until the event outgrew it. So, we're pretty spoiled at Lexington.
Yeah, there aren't too many like that in the world, let alone in this country.
No, absolutely, it's a phenomenal facility, and it just gives us so many different benefits. I mean, we have the media booth, we have more concourse space, we have more seating for fans, we have bigger, you know, two LEDs, and it just works for us really well. So,
well, you put together a good show. It was so nice to catch up with Stacy again. She's so interesting. It doesn't matter what you talk about.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, it is
fun. I was listening to Stacy talking about having joy in the little moments, thinking about, Tammy, let your world go. Let it go.
You know, Craig Cameron was right when he said, how do we compete with that? You know, the quote she said. Because
that
was
funny.
It's right. When Stacy talks, she talks about the things that really do speak to all of us.
Yep.
But I would say especially to women. That's why she's always a crowd favorite.
Yeah. I mean, it's a deeper personality. It's the ability to reflect on what you have and what you're doing. And I think the biggest thing is there's such a passion there. I mean, who else has a job that when they finish their job, they go back and do more of the job that they had, you know? I mean, there's not very many occupations that, I mean, some pilots might and graphic designers might.
Yeah, when I'm off the air, I don't go on the air just as a hobby, you know? you know, I do 12 shows a week. I don't want to do 18. So, you know, it's,
exactly.
But that's
it's
what she's basically saying.
Yeah.
Call me
yeah.
not dedicated, but I do like doing other things occasionally.
Love Stacey. Yeah. So everyone needs to check out our Facebook page and come meet her at Road to the Horse 2015. And tickets are selling fast. So grab your tickets. And having Chris Cox back in 2015 to come back is going to be pretty exciting as well. So lots of good stuff happening at Road to the Horse 2015, and it's all at roadtothehorse.com.
Very good. Thank you, Tammy. Appreciate you stopping by again.
Bye.
We'll talk again in December.
Yes.
And, you know, actually, if you know a road, let's put a plug in for this. If you know a Road to the Horse fan that you need to, that you want, you have to buy gifts for this holidays, Road to the Horse stuff and merchandise would be a great gift for that Road to the Horse fan, right?
Absolutely. And that's good timing, Glenn, because we are just about to get in our new official apparel line for 2015, just in time for Christmas. So keep an eye on Facebook, keep an eye on the website, and our official clothing line is about to be released, as well as a 2015 remuda. So lots happening at Road to the Horse. So I would like a horse from the remuda for Christmas.
You got a cat. You got a table. You can't have a horse. You just bought a
yeah,
table.
I'll sit on my table.
Yes, you're gonna have to ride your table because that's all you get.
That's funny, Glenn.
Thank you, Tammy. Appreciate
Thanks,
it,
guys.
Everybody, for being here. Of course, you can find us at horsesinthemorning.com. All the past episodes are there. If you want to go back to episode number one, over almost 5 years ago, you can do that. You can listen to all 1,036 episodes there. And also on our app, go to the iOS or Android App Store and search for Horse Radio Network, the Horse in the Morning Show. The recorded version shows up there every day around noontime. And that's the easiest way to listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network. Thank you, everybody. Take care, Tammy, and we'll talk to you again in December.
Yep, I'll be there.